Welcome, everyone. This is May 6th, 2018. Moving well and deeply into springtime and almost on our way towards summer. I hope that wherever you are, life is beautiful, at least inside your heart. And, of course, I acknowledge that those who are calling in from below the equator, or maybe you consider it above the equator, either way, on the other side of the equator, I hope you're having a lovely autumn and enjoying the last warm days of summer. But we can always have spring, autumn, and the warmest rays of summer in our heart if we just plan for it. With just a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of expectation, and a spirit of unity with one another. And that's what we come to celebrate here on these Sundays. And that is how we can give one another hope and courage and the ability to really open up and access the grace, the love, and the gifts of God that have already been given, but A, we either don't know how to look for them, or B, maybe we're just in the wrong place to receive. So I just want to say, God doesn't judge us. He doesn't judge and say, I'll only bless you if you're over here or over there. But there are some rules of living. And one of those rules of living is, in order to receive the blessings of God, you really have to be yourself. You were created in His image. That is your core self. Your core self was. Not all the personality attributes that you've generated through experience and adaptation and living, but your core self is created in the image of God, and that's where He sends your mail. It's kind of like you've got a post office box. And when life is good, you check your post office box frequently, or if you got to be out of town for a while, you get mail forwarded. But there can come to be times you get so busy, so embroiled with life, not only do you not check your post office box, you don't even change your forwarding address. You even may lose the address it was originally forwarded to, and you've changed addresses 3 or 4 times, and nobody knows how to find you. That can happen. It can happen to any of us. It can happen to the best of us, and not always in the divergence of selfish purpose. It could be in the divergence of duty, helping others, being caught up in the circumstances of life. Just the list goes on how we can get so far afield from who we are. And so we come back together with those who want to know and love us for who we are and to help us get mail delivered. It's like back in the old email days when we were hooked up to a telephone line, we would get these signals and it would say, you've got mail. A lot of you probably don't even remember those days. I do. It was kind of fun. Well, we want to reconstruct something kind of like that, and that's what we do in our blessing call. So I would love to hear from some of you, just anyone who wants to log in and ask. So I'm going to bring Tony online. Hi, Tony. You're here.
Hey, Glenda. Hey, I hope you and Larry are doing well this week. He had shared news last week that he was doing better, but recovering still. There was such a lovely message that you gave last week related to dealing with stress and how how kind of normal it is to be having stress when we're going through times like we've been going through. So I wanted to acknowledge your message last week. I've just been really thoroughly enjoying your class currently, and I've been I was kind of digging into the class for the first time. I was going through restoring the temple. And there's such a beautiful connection that I was experiencing in what you talk about in there with the connection with abundance, the aspiration of abundance, and with life. And that, I hear that loudly coming through in what you're doing in this class. So I'm just really enjoying that. I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Would you like to ask for a blessing, too?
Yes, I want to say thanks. My friend Tiger's, with us. His foot is getting better. So I want to say thanks for that.
Good.
I ask for continued blessings for his foot recovering. My son James has been, he's had a really wonderful, time with, school. He's getting ready to finish, high school and graduate. But he's really good at running, and he's been having great success in running track events. Now they're getting into the end of the season. He won the league 4x100 sprint with his team, and now they're going to go up against much more intense competition. So just gratitude for how well he's done, but a blessing for him and all the kids that he'll be participating with and competing with over these next 2 weeks.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I love it when you ask for blessings to good things even better.
Yeah,
you know,
thanks.
Don't have to only ask for blessings for things that hurt, that are causing hurt or pain. This is one of the things that Yeshua was very, very clear about in his teachings to me, is not to pray from the hurt, to pray from the strength. And sometimes, and I really do want to emphasize this, sometimes when we pray for our strength to be even stronger, we are preparing ourselves to be able to jump the hurdles of challenge that may come on later in life. And to do it with a more positive spirit of confidence and assurance and accomplishment.
Yes.
You know, we are not given challenges so that we accomplish the challenge. We are given challenges so that we can make less of them.
Well, yes, and that becomes fuel then for our life and in our love and connection with everyone around us. Those healings and the insights and the strength, it helps us to build momentum and synergy.
That's exactly right.
Yes, thanks very much.
So when we celebrate our strengths, we are also asking for our strengths to be magnified so that we can be a better member of our family, our community, our world. The stronger each of you is, the better off we all are. And that is a fact. Not just a fact of faith, but a fact of social science. We all become a little poorer when one person is poor. We all become a little richer when one person is rich. We just have to remember to share, to share when we're rich. And unfortunately, that's something that we need to be learning more and more in our world. And when we're poor, we need to be able to ask for help without a loss of dignity. Because the fact is, we all belong to the same family. We are one family. And can you imagine being in a biological family with 20 members, and one of them is not allowed to eat? Can you imagine? It's unthinkable. Unthinkable. And if that happened, it would only happen because that one family member somehow had gone into a state of mind where he or she felt unworthy to eat. And to me, it's unthinkable that a family would ever allow that to happen. So, Yeshua called everyone to his table, just as he does every Sunday, or every special occasion, or even every day, as he offers the sacrament. He says, I would give you my body as your bread. Take and eat, for my life is yours. Drink the blood of my body, for my blood is yours. Whoever I am, I give that to you. Whatever I can do, I will send that strength to you, that you can do it also. He was not a Lord over us. He was a Lord with us. Even in some ways beneath us, with all the humility that you could ever imagine. Pardon me. I'm going to take a call from Susan. And while you're talking, Susan, I'm going to have some water.
Oh, hi, Glenda.
Hi.
How are you? How's Larry?
Well, Larry is doing better. A little better every day. He's still not self-sufficient, but he's doing better. So thank you all for your prayers and your blessings.
Good, good. I just had another baby granddaughter.
Congratulations!
This makes number 4. His mother was born May 3rd. This baby is the 4th, and my son was born the 5th. So it's
Oh, those are special days for you. Oh, my goodness. You have a very, very Taurus little family.
You're not kidding. So, I don't know, you know. Lena Drew. Her name is Lena Drew. So
Lena Drew. Oh, how sweet. How sweet.
Yeah. So.
And when is your birthday, Susan?
Oh, mine is July 27th. I am.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You're the mother of the family.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is true. This is true. But yeah, also along with Tony, and wishing his son Jim, you know, the very best of everything. All your courses are wonderful, and I encourage everybody to and more people to come on the jam session. It's really wonderful, and thank you for everything you do. You're an angel.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for that. You know, it. Those of you who are not in the class, just to give you some background, she's referring to the jam sessions we have on our webinars. We're just getting ready to have lesson 2 today on our latest webinar, and we're speaking about our daily bread. And I think that's extremely relevant for all the things that we ask for in our blessing, because our bread is not always food you put on the table. Our bread could be anything that nourishes us. And in order to be nourished, we have to be open to that nourishment. And you know what? Another thing that I have taught over and over again in our blessing calls is you have to have a little space on your plate to receive nourishment. If your plate or your cup is all filled with agony, where can the blessings fit? And surely what we will do is we will pray from our agony. And you know what that does? Is it simply creates more agony. You've got to push your agony away. Your hurt, your loss, your tears, your fears, your suffering away in order to show your Heavenly Father a little piece of the son or daughter that he created in his own image. And then he says, come to me, child. I will hold you until you feel nourished. And as you feel nourished, and I can't emphasize this too much, as you feel nourished, then you will find the things that bring you nourishment. You don't find the things first and then feel the nourishment. How many times have you eaten and still felt hungry? How many times have good friends called you on your birthday and you still felt sad? How many times have you gotten a raise and you still felt it wasn't enough? You see, the things don't do it. It's the feeling that brings the things that do it. And here's the secret why. In order to feel the blessing, in order to feel the prayer, you've got to find that little special place where you are with God. And that's the little miracle that brings you not just food, but the right food. Not just money, but the right amount from the right places, from the right person, from the right work, from the right endeavor that reinforces what you're doing and tells you, yes, this is going to work. You see, in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, where it says, give us our daily bread, it doesn't say, oh Lord, put food on my plate. Does it say that? No. It doesn't say, oh Lord, put money in my bank account. Does it say that? No. It says, give us our daily bread. That means a recurring event. Give us a source of income. And today, it may only be $5. But I'd like to remind you of a saying that Henry Ford said. He was the founder of the Ford Motor Company. He said, I would rather have $1 from 1,000 people than $1,000 from one. Same amount of money. But why would he say it that way? Because he understood movement. Interesting, he created a vehicle that moved us around in the world. But he was an engineer of movement and flow and the way. He knew that if he could bring in $1 from 1,000 people, it would be a flow that would bring in another $1,000. You get in $1,000 from one person. That may be it, baby. That may be all the only peach on the tree. But if you get 1,000 peaches in an orchard and you see fruit still forming, and you know it's going to hit the ground when the next wind comes, then you know you're fine. It's the same with friends. Sometimes we think one best friend will do it. And then we lose that one best friend, and we're devastated. We're just devastated. We would be far better off to be involved in community activities or be out taking a course or just doing things with other people, being friendly with the neighbors, etc., and so on. You can fill in the blanks to all my etc.s, because somebody may go on a vacation and be gone a month. Somebody may get sick. Somebody may die. Somebody may move away. Having that flow is our daily bread. It puts our attention on where are the peaches coming from on this tree. It also puts our attention on things we do to encourage and enhance production. I once owned a vineyard, and it was a wonderful teaching experience for me. And I was interested one day when a preacher visited the vineyard, and he quoted from the Bible the quote where Yeshua said, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine master." And, of course, the preacher didn't intend to equate me with God. He was just calling my attention to the way the cultivation of the vines work, because he then quoted some scripture from the Book of Solomon and the writings of David and others, and other quotes of Yeshua where he mentioned the vine many times. Many times. And then the preacher told me, he said, "Did you know that in the ancient Judeo culture, even going back to Egypt and Mesopotamia and Samaria, where wine was essential to life, not because they drank for inebriation, but because it was the best way they had of purifying water. Sometimes water could not be trusted, and they didn't know how to filter it. So wine was essential, and the making of wine was essential, and the growing of the vines was essential to making wine. But he said every young man who was going to inherit an estate, usually the elder son, unless the eldest son was crippled in some way, or the son of the chieftain of a tribe, or the son that would be expected to rule a nation, would be asked to manage a vineyard for no less than 5 years before he was given management of leadership. And he said, there's a reason for that. Because when you prune a vine, you're pruning it for anywhere from 3 to 5 years into the future to ensure the production of that vine. And I said, yes, that's a fact. I studied that when I studied viticulture, because I did study before I purchased the vineyard. And it's true. The vines create buds that you can see, predating by up to 3 years. And how you trim the vine determines all of your future production, including the fact that you don't allow every grape to mature that's on the vine that year. You cut back because you don't want the vine to sap all of its energy from the root. You want to nurture the roots as well. And you even trim back the structure of the vine. This is why they look so beautiful in a vineyard. Like they eventually form almost like little trees. They don't grow that way by nature. By nature, they would just shoot up about 10 to 20, stems that just grow out all over from the ground. And the first year of the vine, you cut back everything except the healthiest of the stem. Yeshua used that as a parable. He was teaching his apostles what he learned in the vineyard. And, oh, yes, he did manage a vineyard. I always wondered why I was brought to own a vineyard and would manage it for 5 years. I know now. Everything I do in managing our ministry and the blessings and our ministers and my writings and all of the things Yeshua gives me to do, including even my health, I think back daily to what I did on the vineyard. The first year, you would cut back all the vines. You would think, oh, but Glenda, how could you do that? Wouldn't you want all the vines to grow? No, actually, they all belong to the same root system. They all belong to the same root system. And it's like your life. Your life has one special root system. Your DNA is all in the root system. And actually, that's where you find your connection to God, is in the root system. You have to look at where your life is rooted. Now, how would you compare that to human life? Well, I would say it's in your values. It's in your priorities. It's in what you love. It's in your purpose. It's in finding out, why did I come here? What's my reason for being? You find that in the foundation of your being. And when you know what that is, it's easy to cut off all the little distractions and the little side vines that come out. So the first year, you're going to make strong one tall vine. That's kind of like what happens, what our parents do to us when we're in school as children. They're looking for our strengths. They're directing our strengths. And they put this strong pole that they attach our strengths to and help us up. And then when that vine starts producing, when it gets strong, like in our teenage years, and it starts producing side vines, well, our parents take those and they attach them to the side wires. That's like saying, okay, Johnny's good in sports, but he's also academically strong. Let's strengthen his scientific ability, or put him in the debate club, or send him abroad so he can study other cultures. Or he's really good in languages. Let's strengthen that. So that's strengthening the side strengths. And there can be all kinds of temptations that take us away from our strengths. And our parents come in and cut those off. And sometimes we can really be mad. But if we've got a good relationship, we trust them. And we go into adulthood. And we start producing. And we have a family. And we fall in love. We have children. We have a family. And because we're making a living for our family, we could get all tied up in our work. And we let that one limb of the vine produce all the fruit. And the other limbs can't produce. And our wife says, or our husband says, honey, I just don't see you anymore lately. And the kids are missing you. Okay, it's time to cut back some fruit over there on that vine that's overproducing. Let some production occur on the other vines. Okay? And seasons of change come, which could be compared to the winter. Seasons of change come in our life. It could be like me going through the hurricane last year, or it could be like a lot of us. We have a health crisis, or we lose a loved one, or we go through just a big move, a big change, a career change, or something else in life. We've got to do a big, big cutback. Well, that's like the winter in the vineyard. Now, in the vineyard, we cut back every vine, every single vine that produced before. We don't leave a single vine that produced before. Well, why would you say that? Okay, we take a look at the mother vines that were strategically left strung out on the wire with latent buds on them. And we know those buds will spring if we cut back everything they already produced. If we leave on there everything that already produced, all we'll get the next year are leaves. We won't get any fruit. Have you ever tried to do the same thing over and over again, and it only worked once, never worked again? You thought, well, I just need to change locations. Or it's my partner's fault. He's not doing his share of the work. No, you're working off of last year's vines. Cut them off. Cut them away. They won't produce again. Let new vines be produced. This is what those scriptures meant. I could teach a whole webinar called The Vineyard. I really, really could, and I've actually thought about that. And I'm just waiting for Yeshua to give me a nudge and say, okay, Glenda, the time has come. But I haven't gotten that nudge yet, so I'm holding back. But I'd like to give you little tidbits on that, because it's all about our daily bread. You see, our daily bread sometimes comes from planning that was put in place 3 years ago. And it has a lot to do with plans we make for 3 years in the future. It's not just a one-time event where mom walks by the table and spoons potatoes on your plate and a little piece of chicken. That's not your daily bread. That's why it's called your daily bread. It's what you plan for in a state of continuum to be aware of where you are in relation to the planning, the production, the expectations, the probabilities, and the abundances of life. You don't go live in a desert and expect to eat. Okay? That's what it means. We're going to talk about that more in our class today. And I just don't want to spend too much more time on that. But it applies so deeply to how we get a blessing. Look at where you've made yourself available to a blessing. Maybe you need to be healed physically, but you haven't made yourself open to that kind of healing yet. So take a look at where you have left yourself open. Maybe you haven't left yourself open to a physical healing because you haven't researched anything about what's wrong with you. You haven't been to the doctor in ages. You don't know anything about the symptoms you're having. You don't know about holistic procedures. You wouldn't know where to turn. But your family loves you. You have friends that love you. You can call them and say, can you help me figure this out? And you better believe somebody will. So go to where your trees are abundant, to where you've set things in motion, and where you can expect results. Then start nurturing the area where you need a blessing to come, and nurture it with probabilities and fullness of expectation. Don't just pray over and over again, oh Lord, I hurt. Oh Lord, I'm lost. Oh Lord, I'm lonely. God already knows you're in trouble. And he knows why you're in trouble, because you moved off your center. He wants to see you move back in your center. And where's your center? It's any place that life is working for you. It's anywhere that you can get some daily bread or daily water or a friend or an encouraging word. Okay? I'm going to take a caller now from area code 903, and you're on.
Yes, Glenda, I have a beautiful line for you and Larry, and this line comes from your smile that I know well. The verse is, your smile brings me down on bended knee in respect and adoration. Stand up, my man. and embrace me that I might feel your smile surround me.
Oh, Stormy, that is so beautiful. And that's exactly what I was saying. No matter how bad the trouble is, no matter how bad the storm is, no matter how lost we may feel, we can stand up in the presence of God and smile. And that's,
yeah, that's my address. I say that's my address. It's my smile.
Okay. And you got mail.
Yeah, yes, I do. I get mail all the time.
You do. See, that's what I mean, Stormy. That was just a perfect reply. Thank you so much. And I see Nancy's on the phone. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Glenda. I was so happy to hear that Larry is doing so well, and you sound really good today, too. So you must be coming right along as well from healing from your fall. I'm calling to ask for a blessing for a healing team that's being established at my local church. This team is going to work with people to identify and heal deep emotional traumas. And they are going to do it by helping the individuals that would like that kind of healing to experience Christ's presence, and in that Christ's presence, receive the healing that they need.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful thing, and I recently joined this church. I wasn't sure how I was supposed to serve, so I've been working with Spirit to show me what is mine to do, and sure enough, I got a phone call, and the person putting this team together asked me if I would like to participate, and so they asked me to be what they call the prayer warrior for the team. So I would like to ask for a blessing for this team that's being formed, for their work as they plan this activity and carry it out, for all of the people that will be coming to the team to work on their healing, and for me to help support me as I provide the prayer work and hold sacred space for this activity.
Oh, it will be my pleasure, and also for all of you, realize that the reason it's so important to have another person there for you to get better, to feel more optimistic, or to find the answers is not always because that person has the answer. It's just because having someone with you helps you to find your true place of being from which you can then receive blessings. You see, as blessing givers, we're not the ones that give the blessing. God gives the blessing. We're the one that's there for you. We're the one, like the dish on the roof that receives the signal and passes it on. And so, Nancy, you don't have to worry about what you will do. Just being there, being present, and being part of the team will contribute so much to the strength of that team and their ability to be of service. The one thing people who are hurting do not want is to be manipulated.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not even in a positive way. They don't want to be manipulated because they actually are hurting so badly they've lost their trust. Something in life has wrongfully manipulated them, whether it was a car accident or a personal human betrayal. They were wrongfully manipulated. So they don't want any manipulation at all. They want neutrality in the form of love that stands beside them. And that's all you really have to do.
Yes.
God does the rest.
Yes. Yes, I feel very comfortable in providing this support because it's clear. I can see spirit at work guiding me, and I had a false start, but then I knew if I waited, spirit would show me what I was supposed to do in service to the church. So I feel very comfortable because of that, and I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, we can always use the blessing. So I ask it for the team.
Absolutely. And you have it.
Thank you so much.
So let's move into our blessing today. Okay. Everybody, I want you to be just relaxed into your heart. Put your mind on the bench, okay? It's been benched for a while. We love it. We respect it. We value it. But right now, it's not what has the answers. Let's be here just for one another. Blessing givers, please join me. The rest of you, sit quietly and in peace in your heart. Yeshua, Lord of life, the one who teaches us how full our cup can be if we would only pour out the troubles first. Give us the courage to empty our cup of trouble and receive that which God has given to us to receive in its place. Be with those that are lonely, that are hungry, that are weary, and the children, and those who do not know what we know to simply surrender and wait upon the blessings of God. Be with them and allow them to find your magnificent love. I ask that you be with all of our blessing givers to give them strength to simply be there in the grace of God, offering the gifts of God neutrally and with all their heart, that all may be well. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Let us all begin. Your blessing has been given. Now, go and rest, receive, and be nourished by the grace of God, the love of Yeshua, and the healing energy of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now.